Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, and every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, we give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. See, my life will never remain the same again. See, my life will never remain the same again. Hallelujah. John 16 from verse 23 of that same chapter. John 16:23. It says, and in that day, underline that, in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Underline that, from whatever to you. It says, until now, underline that, until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. Underline that. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now here, Jesus is teaching his disciples boldness in prayer. Okay, Jesus is teaching his disciples boldness in prayer. Now, why was this necessary? Because of how prayer was done before Jesus came. Jesus says that there. He says, until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Okay, now, he was right in saying this. All through the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, the disciples depended on him for their needs. They saw Jesus as the one that God answers. So they asked him when there was trouble. Matthew chapter 8 records an example of this. Please turn there quickly. Matthew 8 verse 23. It says, now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. Underline that, from out of sea. So that the boat was covered with the waves. Underline that, from that waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. Now notice what happens here. The disciples don't ask God directly to calm the storm, right? They asked Jesus. They asked Jesus to calm the storm. Similarly, when Lazarus falls sick in John chapter 11, Mary and Martha asked help from Jesus. John chapter 11 verse 1 quickly. John 11 verse 1. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him. Underline that, sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. So they called Jesus for help. So it appears that the disciples of Jesus didn't consider themselves worthy to pray directly to God. Okay, they had tried it once and it didn't seem to work. See Matthew 17 verse 14. Matthew 17 verse 14. It says, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Underline that, but they could not cure him. Verse 19 of that same chapter. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Underline that, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Underline that, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith, underline that, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Underline that. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now here, Jesus pinpoints what their problem was. It was a lack of faith. Do you see that there? Now, what is faith? Faith is confidence. Now, the word unbelief in verse 20 translates the Greek oligopistos. O-L-I-G-O-P-I-S-T-O-S. A compound term from oligo, meaning little, and pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, meaning faith or confidence. So together it would mean little faith or little confidence. Jesus uses the same word four other times in rebuking his disciples. See Matthew 6 verse 30. Luke 12 28 records the same statement. Then Matthew 8 verse 26. Matthew 14 verse 31. And Matthew 16 verse 8. So the problem here was that the disciples tried casting out the demon with little confidence. Do you follow that? They were unsure if it would work, like trial and error. Okay, this was how the disciples generally were with God. Their prayers were marked with uncertainty. They were not sure if God would answer, so they just asked Jesus for everything. It was Jesus who seemed to get all his prayers answered immediately. Do you follow that? So the disciples would try to pray. They won't see much results. Okay, but Jesus would pray and he would get results immediately. You find that the four Gospels use that phrase in that very hour. Okay, you find that phrase used the Lord in the four Gospel accounts in that very hour to describe the promptness with which this happened. See Matthew 8 verse 13. Let's run through that quickly. Matthew 8 verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you've believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. Underline that same hour. Luke 7:21, similarly there. Luke 7 verse 21. And that very hour, underline that very hour, he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. And to many blind he gave sight. You may see also Matthew 8:3. Matthew 20 verse 34, Mark 4:29, Mark 10:52, John 5:8-9. Okay, so Jesus' prayers and declarations came to pass swiftly. Do you follow that? So the disciples felt, why not just ask him? Do you follow that? So they relegated all their prayers to Jesus. They delegated all their requests to him. But Jesus is saying to them in John chapter 16 verses 23 to 24 that this would have to change. Hallelujah. A time was coming when they would have to ask of God directly. Okay, Jesus wouldn't always be around physically to keep praying for them. Okay, so Jesus teaches a new way to pray that was unknown to the disciples. Follow closely. Now, you can't blame the disciples for this attitude. Okay, this was Old Testament thinking and Old Testament mentality. The Old Testament lacked confidence in prayer. And this is obvious in how prayer was done under the Old Testament. Now, let's pause this teaching a little bit. I want to give you a few facts on Greek and Hebrew grammar, okay? A few facts on Greek and Hebrew grammar which we'll be using in this teaching. Are you ready for that? Now, the Greek and Hebrew have different moods, M-O-O-D-S, voices, and tenses. Now, we'll focus majorly on the Greek portion, the New Testament, since that is where we would be examining in this teaching. So, let's see the moods. Okay, so you can put the subhead in here, Greek moods. Now, moods help the reader understand the nature of an action. Okay, so is the speaker speaking facts, begging, making a command? The mood helps us find out. Now, the Greek moods include, number one, the indicative. I-N-D-I-C-A-T-I-V-E. Now, usually represented by I in the lexicon. Do you follow that? When you check your lexicon, you find that under the word I. Okay, now this is used to denote facts, the indicative. Now it is the most common mood in the New Testament, used in 1 Peter 1:8. Let's see that quickly. 1 Peter 1:8, it says, "Whom having not seen you love," underline that you love, indicative, a fact. "Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice," underline that you rejoice, indicative, a fact. Okay, so this is what they were doing with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now, next mood, the imperative. Okay, the imperative represented by M in the lexicon. M. Now, this is used for commands. Do you follow that? The imperative is used for commands. Now, it is used in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17. It says, "Pray," imperative, a command, without season. Okay, now next, the optative, represented by O. Now this is used to express wishes or desires. The optative is used to express wishes or desires. Now this is used in 1 Peter 1:2. Let's see that quickly. 1 Peter 1:2. It says, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Optative. Okay, peace be multiplied to you. Next, the subjunctive mood. SUBJUNCTIVE, represented by S. Now this is used to show probability. It describes dependent events. Okay, this may happen if this happens. That's the subjunctive. You would often find the word may used with the subjunctive or for the subjunctive. Now this is used in 1 Peter 1:7. 1 Peter 1:7. It says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found. Underline that, may be found. Subjunctive, to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And lastly, the infinitive mood, represented by N, I-N-F-I-N-I-T-I-V-E, infinitive. Okay, now this is a verbal noun. It shows a verb in progress. This mood is used in Philippians 2, verse 13. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will, underline that to will, infinitive. You can say the willing, okay, and to do, underline that to do, infinitive. You can say the doing, for his good pleasure. So those are the Greek moods. Do you follow that? They help us understand the nature of the verb. Now let's see voices. Greek voices include, first of all, the active voice. Okay? The active voice, represented by A. Now here, the subject performs the action in the active voice. For example, he slapped Mark. Do you follow that? The subject is acting. Now this is used in John chapter 13, verse 5. John 13, verse 5. It says, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash. Underline that, to wash. Active voice. That is used in the active voice, okay? To wash. So Jesus is performing the action, okay? The disciples' feet. And to wipe them. Underline that. To wipe them. Active voice, okay? With the towel with which he was girded. Next, the passive voice, represented by P. Now here, the action is performed on the subject, not by the subject. So for example, it was slapped by Mark. So someone else is acting on the subject, the passive voice. Now this is used in Ephesians 2 verse 5. Ephesians 2 5. It says, even when we're dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Underline that, you have been saved. Passive. Okay, so we didn't save ourselves. Do you follow that? Another performed that act on us, Jesus. So by grace, you have been passive saved. Do you follow that? Okay, thank you. And lastly, the middle voice. The middle voice, represented by M. Now here, the subject acts on himself. He performs the action on himself. For example, he slapped himself. That will be the middle voice. Now used in Matthew 27 verse 24. Matthew 27 verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that the tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands. Underline that, washed his hands, middle voice. So he did that to himself before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. You see to it. Okay, now let's see Greek tenses. The Greek tenses. We've seen moods, right? We've seen voices, right? Now let's see the tenses. The Greek tenses. Now tenses describe the time of an action and what kind of action it is. Now Greek tenses include, first of all, the aorist tense. Okay? A-O-R-I-S-T, represented by A. Now the aorist tense describes past tense actions. What is already done. Used in 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Underline that, he became poor. Aorist tense. So this happened in the past. Do you follow that? That you through his poverty might become rich. Next, the present tense, represented by P. Now this describes actions happening in the present, or present continuous actions, okay, currently taking place. Used by Paul in Ephesians 5 verse 18. Ephesians 5 verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled. Underline that, be filled. Present tense, be continually filled, the Greek says, with the Spirit. So this should never stop. Next, the imperfect tense, represented by I. The imperfect tense, represented by I. Now, this is very similar to the present tense. It describes continuous actions, but in the past. Look at Mark 4, verse 33. Used there, Mark 4, 33. And with many such parables, he spoke, underline that, he spoke in imperfect tense. That is, he kept speaking the word to them as they were able to hear it. Next, future tense, represented by F. Now, this describes actions which will take place at a later time. Okay, futuristic actions. Used in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 3. 1 Corinthians 6 3. It says, do you not know that we shall judge, future tense, angels. Underline that. We shall judge. That is in the future tense. How much more things that pertain to this life. And next here, the perfect tense. The perfect tense, represented by R. Okay, now this describes actions done in the past with effects in the present. Okay, actions which have already taken place. Now this is used in John chapter 19 verse 22. John 19 verse 22. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Underline that. I have written. That is, it stands written even in the present. Okay, next, pluperfect tense. P-L-U-P-E-R-F-E-C-T. Pluperfect tense, represented by L. Now, this is similar to the perfect tense, only that both the action and the effects of the action happened already in the past. Used in John chapter 18, verse 16. John 18, verse 16. But Peter stood, pluperfect, at the door outside. Then the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought him in. Okay, and now for the Hebrew mood, we would only look at the jussive mood. J-U-S-S-I-V-E. That's what we will need for this teaching. Now, the jussive mood, J-U-S-S-I-V-E, has various usages in the Hebrew. But mostly, it was used for requests, to beg. So, in another teaching, we will look at all the morphology of the Hebrew grammar completely. So, know this as you study the original languages. Is that understood? Always look for the mood, the tenses, and the voices to help you know what exactly the other is trying to say. Is that understood? Okay, thank you. Now, I'm back to the teaching. Now, you find that prayer under the Old Testament was usually done in the jussive mood. Okay? Prayer under the Old Testament was usually done in the jussive mood. Now, that is a mood of optation or begging, we've said, right? Now, Old Testament prayer took the form of entreaties, alright, like a subordinate begging a superior who may or may not answer. Now, observe the following text, 1 Kings 18 verse 36, we run through now, so please turn there, I'll wait for you. 1 Kings 18 verse 36, it says, and it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Verse 37 says, hear me. Underline that, hear me. O Lord, hear me. Underline that again, hear me. That these people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you. Note that, hear me. See Nehemiah 1:6. Nehemiah 1:6. Please let your ear be attentive, underline that, and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. Verse 11 of that same chapter. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant. Underline that, from please to servant, and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy on the side of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Psalm 5:1. Please turn your Bible there quickly. Psalm 5:1. It says, give ear, underline that, give ear to my words. O Lord, consider my meditation. Verse 2 says, give heed, underline that, give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. Psalm 20 verse 9. It says, save, Lord, may the King answer us. Underline that, may the King answer us when we call. Psalm 27 verse 7. It says, hear, O Lord, underline that, hear, O Lord, when I cry out with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Underline that, answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Underline that. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my help. Do not leave me. Underline that. Do not leave me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. Psalm 28 verse 2. It says, hear the voice of my supplications. Underline that. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary. Psalm 30 verse 10. Hear, O God, underline that. Hear, O God, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. Psalm 39 verse 12. Hear my prayer, underline that, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear, underline that, give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner as my fathers were. Psalm 54 verse 2, similarly there. Psalm 54 2, it says, hear my prayer, underline that, hear my prayer, O God, give ear, underline that, give ear to the words of my mouth. Psalm 55 verse 1, Psalm 55 1. Give ear, underline that, give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Underline, do not hide yourself. Psalm 61 verse 1. Psalm 61 verse 1. It says, hear my cry, O God. Underline, hear my cry. Attend to my prayer. Underline, attend. Psalm 84 verse 8. Psalm 84 verse 8. It says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Underline that. Give her. Underline that. O God of Jacob, Selah. Psalm 86 verse 1. Psalm 86 1. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me. Underline that, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Verse 6 of that same chapter, Psalm 86. It says, give her, O Lord, to my prayer. Underline, give her, and attend. Underline, attend to the voice of my supplications. Psalm 88, 1 and 2. Psalm 88, 1 and 2. It says, O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear, underline that, incline your ear to my cry. Psalm 102 verse 1. Psalm 102 verse 1. It says, hear my prayer, O Lord, underline that, hear my prayer, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me, underline that. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear, underline that. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call, answer me speedily. Psalm 130 verse 2. Psalm 130 verse 2. Lord, hear my voice, underline that, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive, underline that. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Psalm 141 verse 1. It says, Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice. Underline that. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Psalm 143 verse 1. Psalm 143 verse 1. It says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Underline that. Hear my prayer. Give ear, underline that, give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness answer me, and in your righteousness. See Daniel 9 verse 7. Daniel 9 verse 7. It says, O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, underline that, from bad to face, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those far and those near, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they've committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, underline that, from two to face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Verses 17 to 19 of that same chapter, it says, now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant, underline that, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your hair, underline that, incline your hair, and hear, underline hair, open your eyes, underline that, open your eyes, and see our desolations, underline that, see our desolations, and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Verse 19. O Lord, hear, underline that. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive, underline that. O Lord, listen and act, underline that. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Now, what do you notice about all these prayers so far? If you describe them in one word. Beggarly. Right? Come on. Obviously, prayer under the Old Testament was beggarly. Do you see that? Notice the words often used in their prayers. Hear. Right? Give hear. Be attentive. May. Right? Psalm 20 verse 9. Please. Nehemiah 1 verse 11. Incline your hair. I beg of you. Right? Those kind of words. Now, these words show a presumption by those under the Old Testament that God needed to be pleaded with, pacified before heard. So under the Old Testament, they had that idea of God. We need to plead with God. We need to pacify God before he hears. So we can't really blame the disciples. Do you see that now? For their lack of confidence in prayer. That was all they were used to. Do you follow that? And that is why they would ask Jesus to pray for them. Are you following this so far? Okay, thank you. Now, prayer changes once Jesus comes on the scene. Remember, prayer under the Old Testament is what? Beggarly, right? Now, prayer changes once Jesus comes on the scene. Now, Jesus is recorded to have prayed in the four Gospels, okay? He prayed at his baptism. Luke 3 verse 21. Let's see that quickly. Luke 3 verse 21. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, underline that, while he prayed, the heaven was opened. He often withdrew from the crowd to pray. Luke 5 verse 16. Jesus would often withdraw from the crowd to pray. Luke 5 verse 16. Okay, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Underline that, and prayed. He prayed before choosing the 12. Luke 6 verse 12. Luke 6 verse 12. Then it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray. Underline that, to pray. And continued all night in prayer to God. Underline that, continued all night in prayer. He prayed after healing the sick. Mark 1:35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Underline that, there he prayed. He prayed before walking on water. Matthew 14 verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Underline that, to pray. And when evening came, he was alone there. You may see also Mark 6:46, John 6:15, they record the same incident. He prayed at the transfiguration. Luke 9 verse 29. Luke 9 verse 29. It says, as he prayed, underline that, as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. He prayed for Peter. Luke 22:31-32. Luke 22:31-32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Indeed, Satan has asked for you that he might shift your weight, but I have prayed for you. Underline that, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Luke 11 also describes him praying in an unnamed place. Luke 11 verse 1, he's praying there in an unnamed place. It says, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place. Underline that, as he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus prayed. That is clear, right? Okay. And how Jesus prayed was very key. Okay. How Jesus prayed was very important. Jesus prayed in the imperative mode. Are you following this? Jesus prayed in the imperative mode. Now, what does that mean? Check your notes. The imperative. A command, right? Okay, thank you. So this means Jesus wasn't begging. Are you following this? Okay, that his request be granted. No, it was asking. Hallelujah. An imperative is a command. We've seen that, right? Now observe the following instances where Jesus prayed or made declarations. We've seen in the Old Testament how was prayer? Beggarly, right? Now compare that with how Jesus prayed, okay? Or how he made declarations. Luke chapter 13 records his encounter with the woman bent over. Luke 13 verse 12. Let's see that quickly. Luke 13 verse 12. Please turn your Bible there quickly. I'll wait for you. Luke 13 verse 12. Are you there? But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, Woman, you are loosed. Underline that. You were loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately, hallelujah, she was made straight and glorified God. Now that phrase, you are loosed, is in the perfect tense in the Greek. Remember that? The perfect tense. So Jesus is talking like it has happened already. Remember, that is a perfect tense, right? What has happened already? So you can read it this way. Woman, you are already set free. Hallelujah. From your infirmity. Mark 5 recalls Jesus' miracle of resurrection at Jairus' house. Let's see that. It says, then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha, kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Now that phrase, little girl, I say to you, arise, is in the imperative mode in the Greek. So it's a command. You can read it this way. Little girl, arise, I command it. Do you follow that? So Jesus is asking in prayer. He is not begging. Do you see that so far? Okay, thank you. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus calms the storm with a command. Mark 4:39. Please turn there, I'll wait for you. Mark 4:39. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. Underline that. Peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now the word peace is in the imperative mode in the Greek, a command. Okay? The phrase be still is in the perfect passive imperative. Okay, the perfect passive imperative. So you can read it this way, you are made still. Do you follow that? That is what Jesus actually said. When you talk in the perfect tense, you are speaking in an accomplished tone, as if what you are saying has already happened. So that is how Jesus prayed. Do you see that so far? In John chapter 12, Jesus asks that the Father's name be glorified. John 12 verse 28. John 12 verse 28, it says, Father, glorify your name. Underline that. Glorify your name. The word glorify is in the imperative. So he's speaking in a command tone. And Jesus is answered immediately. Verse 28 of that same chapter continues, then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it. Underline that. Will glorify it. John chapter 17 records Jesus' high priestly prayer, which contain a series of imperatives and indicatives. Now turn there quickly. John chapter 17. Now verses 1 and 5 ask that the Son be glorified. Okay, verse 1 says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son. Imperative. Underline that. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Verse 5 says similarly, And now, O Father, glorify me. Underline that. Glorify me. Imperative. A command, right? Okay. Together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world began. So you look at these prayers in the Greek, and it seems like Jesus is actually commending God. Do you follow that? He's speaking in the imperative. Now, all of this will make sense shortly. Just follow through. Verse 11 asks that the disciples be kept. Verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep, underline keep, imperative. Say that again. Through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Verse 15, similarly, it asks that the disciples be kept from the evil one. It says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them. Underline that. You should keep them. Aorist tense. Past tense. So he's talking like it is already done. From the evil one. Okay? You should keep them from the evil one. He speaks there in the aorist tense. Verse 17, prays for their sanctification. It says, sanctify them, imperative, by your word. Your word is truth. Underline, sanctify them. Verses 20 to 21, pray for our unity. It says, I do not pray. Underline, pray, very key, for this alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that is you and I today, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now the word pray, Jesus uses in verse 20, is from the Greek erotao. Okay, erotao. E-R-O-T-A-O. The O accentuated, the last O also accentuated. A very interesting word. It means to ask because of the relationship one has with another. Do you follow that? It was used when someone who has a special relationship with another person asks that person to do something for him. So note that. This will prove useful shortly. Now verse 24 asks that we be where he is. Verse 24. It says, Father, I desire that those also whom you give me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, Jesus asks all of this knowing that he had a close relationship with God. Therefore, his prayers will be answered. Do you follow that? So when Jesus prays, he prays in the erotao. Do you follow that? I have a special relationship with the person I'm speaking to. Therefore, the person I'm speaking to will answer me. Come on. That is how Jesus prayed. Are you following this? In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus there is sure, hallelujah, that his prayer will be answered if he prayed. Matthew 26, please turn your Bible there. I want you to see this very key. Matthew 26 verse 53. Are you there? Remember this incident. They came to arrest Jesus, right? Okay, he says, or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me, underline that, he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Now that phrase, he will provide, is in the indicative in the Greek. Now what's that? Indicative? A fact, right? Okay, so you can read this text this way. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will surely provide me? Hallelujah. So he's speaking in facts. Do you follow that? No doubt about it. With more than 12 legions of angels. So Jesus was confident that his prayer would be heard. Okay? Jesus says as much before he raised Lazarus from the dead. John 11 verse 41. Please turn your Bible there quickly. John 11 verse 41. Okay, Jesus wants to raise Lazarus from the dead. Look at how he prays. It says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Come on. Underline that. I thank you that you've heard me. You know, no one under the Old Testament could talk this way. Do you see that? And I know that you always hear me. Come on. Underline that. I know that you always hear me. Indicative. What's that? A fact. Amen. But because of the people who were standing by said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. An imperative. A command. Okay? And he was dead, came out, bound in a food with grave cloths, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. So Jesus was not praying with uncertainty. He knew that he would be heard. Do you follow that? Jesus knew that he would be heard. You see that even on the cross, Jesus is still praying with authority and confidence. Luke records one of his prayers. Luke 23 verse 34. Luke 23 verse 34. Are you following this so far? Alright, thank you. Luke 23 verse 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Underline that. Forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That word forgive is imperative in the Greek. Father, let them be forgiven. You can read it that way. Do you follow that? So, Jesus' prayer life was one full of assurance. He never doubted for once that it would be answered. Okay? Now, this is in stark contrast with prayer under the old. Do you notice that Jesus never used the word please in his prayers? How many of you saw that? He spoke authoritatively. Do you follow that? He speaks like it's already done. Okay, even how Jesus worked miracles was different. Jesus commanded miracles to be done. He did not beg. He commanded that miracles be done. In Matthew chapter 8, he commands healing on the centurion's servant, verse 13. Matthew 8, verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed, so let it be done. Underline that. So let it be done. An imperative. Underline that, okay? An imperative for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. So he commends that. In Matthew chapter 9, a paralytic is healed by Jesus' commands. Okay? He heals a paralytic there by commands. Verses 6 to 7 of that same chapter, Matthew chapter 9. Verses 6 to 7, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take your bed, and go to your house. A command, imperative in the Greek. Okay, and he arose and departed to his house. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus heals a withered hand with a command. Verse 13. Matthew 12, verse 13, as we begin to close. Are you there? Okay. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. Underline that. Stretch out your hand. Imperative. And he stretched it out and it was restored as old as the other. Do you see that? Commands. In Mark chapter 1, he commands a demon to depart. Mark 1 verse 25. Mark 1 25. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet, underline that, be quiet, an imperative, and come out of him, underline that, come out of him, another imperative, okay? And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him, underline that, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned amongst themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands. Come on, underline that. With authority he commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. Hallelujah. Underline that, they obey him. The word commands here means to order something to be done. Epithasso in the Greek. Epithasso. Epithasso. The last O accentuated in the Greek. Okay, so Jesus gives clear commands. And he does so with authority. Here you see that the commands are directed at the demon spirit. It is instructed to be silent. Okay, that same word used in Mark 4:39 when Jesus calmed the storm. When he said, peace be still. That is the same word used here. Be quiet. Do you follow that? Remember, the demon had been speaking to Jesus. Verses 23 to 24 say, It says, now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, on the line that, he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So he instructs it to be quiet, okay, and then to depart, to go forth from him, the Greek says, which it does. Later in Mark chapter 1, it is recorded how Jesus pronounced healing on the leper. Mark 1:40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. Underline that, be cleansed, an imperative. Okay? As soon as he had spoken, immediately, underline that, immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. In Mark chapter 4, he commanded a healing on a deaf and mute. Mark 7 verse 34. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened, imperative. Do you follow that? That is a command in the Greek, be opened, imperative. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus commands the dead to be raised at Nain, verse 14 of that same chapter, Nain, N-A-I-N, okay, verse 14. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise, underline that, arise, an imperative, okay, you can put there, arise, exclamation mark. Do you follow that? Anytime you find imperative, you can put exclamation mark there. It's an instruction, a command, a stern instruction. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. John chapter 5 records how a certain man is healed by Jesus at Bethesda. Verse 8 of that same chapter, John 5, verse 8. Are you there? Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Now in the Greek, these are a series of imperatives. Do you follow that? Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Okay, and immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. So in his early walk, Jesus was going about, commanding miracles to be wrought by God's power. Jesus needed only speak a word, and power was released through his words. So Jesus' prayer life was not a plea. Did you spot that in the four Gospels? It wasn't begging. His prayer life was not characterized by begging, but confident declarations, confident action. Okay, now what about Hebrews 5? Some would ask, verses 7 to 8. You know, I told you I'm always two steps ahead, amen, of my opponents while studying. I anticipate their questions before they arise. Now let's see that. Hebrews 5, 7 to 8. Hebrews 5, 7 to 8. It says, who, referring to Jesus, in the day of his flesh, or you can say in his incarnation, when he had offered up prayers and supplications and vehement cries and tears, underline that, vehement cries and tears, to him who was able to save him from death, underline that, from all to death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Underline that, by the things which he suffered. Now, this describes Jesus as pleading. See verse 7 again. It says, he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears. Do you see that there? Okay, now my thought, Jesus didn't plead. Right? He asked confidently. So Bible critics will come here. So is there a contradiction in the Bible? Do you follow that? Now, no. It's simple. Okay? Now, this was not talking about Jesus' prayer life throughout his life, but just one prayer. Do you follow that? His prayer at Gethsemane, just before he died. Remember that prayer? Lord, if it is your will, Lord, let this cup pass over me. We are told by the writers of the four Gospels that he prayed and his sweat became like what? Drops of blood. You may see Matthew 26 verse 42 for that. Luke 22 verse 44. The only time Jesus ever pleaded this way was at his death. Come on. Are you here? He says that there in verse 7. He says, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. Underline that. Who was able to save him from death. So the context here is his death. Do you follow that? Okay. Jesus struggled with the thought of dying. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. Remember, he even asked that the cup of suffering would pass him. So that prayer refers to his humanness. Do you follow that? In that prayer, his humanness showed forth. Okay? But in prayer, he eventually received courage. Hallelujah. And he was able to align his will with God's will. You know, if you were Jesus, perfectly holy and righteous, you've never committed any sin, then you're supposed to become sin. You know, you would also feel uneasy. Am I right to say that? You would also be scared about that, right? Okay? The thought of becoming sin will make you feel uneasy. Hence is please. Do you follow that? Okay, so the writer of Hebrews is actually describing Jesus's humanity here. Remember, he has said earlier in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, he says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. Underline that. So he felt our pain. Amen. He knows what it means to be human, what it means to be uneasy, to be fearful, to feel anxiety. Underline that, okay, from worse to are, yet without sin. So Jesus's humanity is shown in the fact that he could get nervous at the thought of death. But look at this. Interestingly, Jesus did not remain nervous. See Matthew 26 verse 42 as we close. Matthew 26 verse 42. It says, again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Underline that, your will be done. So that prayer ends with, your will be done. An imperative in the Greek. Do you follow that? So Jesus was still praying authoritatively amongst his pleas. Come on! Do you follow that? I found this very amazing while studying this. So he's pleading yet speaking with authority. So he never for once lost sight of his sonship and special standing with God. Now the Old Testament faithfuls never prayed this way. Compare how Jesus healed lepers with Numbers 12, where Miriam was struck with leprosy. Remember that story? Now, Jesus commanded leprosy to leave. He commanded. See Mark 1:41. Please turn your Bible there. Let's compare and contrast quickly as we close. Mark 1:41. Is this helping someone? All right, thank you. Mark 1:41. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Underline that, be cleansed. A command, an imperative. Now, while Moses begged for Miriam to be healed unsuccessfully, see Numbers 12 verse 13. Please turn there. I'll wait for you. Numbers 12 verse 13. Miriam had just been struck with leprosy. So Moses cried out to the Lord saying, please, underline that, please heal her. Oh God, I pray, underline that, I pray. Do you notice the difference? Okay, what was the difference? Jesus was speaking with authority. Do you see that? Moses was making entreaties. Do you know that? So, a difference in how they prayed. Now, why did Jesus speak this way? Why did Jesus speak with confidence? Why did Jesus command healings? Why did Jesus speak so confidently? Simple, because he was a son. Okay, Jesus related with God as Father in prayer. Do you follow that? Jesus came before the Father. He came before God as Father in prayer. Moses came before Yahweh as God. Do you know the difference? Okay, you see that Bible scholars find that about 70 times Jesus calls God Father in the New Testament. Think about that, 70 times. Now I'll give you several references for that. Are you ready? Okay, for that, Matthew 7 verse 21, Matthew 10 verse 32, Matthew 10 verse 33, Matthew 11 verse 25, Matthew 11 verse 26, Matthew 11 verse 27, Matthew 12:50, Matthew 15 verse 13, Matthew 16 verse 17, Matthew 16 verse 27, Matthew 18:10, Matthew 18 verse 19, Matthew 18 verse 35, Matthew 20 verse 23, Matthew 25 verse 34, Matthew 26 verse 29, Matthew 26 verse 39, Matthew 26 verse 42, Matthew 26 verse 53, Mark 8:38, Mark 14 verse 36. Are you tired yet? Amen. Luke 2:49, Luke 10:21, Luke 10:22, Luke 22:29, Luke 22:42, Luke 23 verse 34, Luke 23 verse 46, Luke 24 verse 49. John 2:16, John 5:17, John 5 verse 19, John 5 verse 43, John 6 verse 32, John 6 verse 39, John 8:19, John 8 verse 38, John 8 verse 49, John 8 verse 54. Tired yet? Amen. John 4 verse 14. John 10 verse 18, John 10 verse 25, John 10 verse 29, John 10 verse 37, John 12 verse 26, John 12 verse 27, John 14 verse 2, John 14 verse 7, John 14 verse 20, John 14 verse 21, John 14 verse 23, John 14 verse 31, John 15 verse 1, John 15 verse 8, John 15 verse 10, John 15 verse 15, John 15 verse 23, John 15 verse 24, John 16 verse 10, John 16 verse 23, John 16 verse 25, John 16 verse 32, John 17 verse 1, John 17 verse 5, John 17 verse 11, John 17 verse 21, John 17 verse 24, John 17 verse 25, John 18 verse 11, John 20 verse 17, John 20 verse 21, Acts 1:4, Revelation 2 verse 27, Revelation 3 verse 5, Revelation 3 verse 21. Hallelujah. What I just gave you is about 75 references where Jesus called God Father. So in the Old Testament, that feeling, that mentality of God's fatherhood was missing. Do you follow that? So when you see how Jesus prayed and how those in the Old Testament prayed, and you ask what is the difference? The difference was sonship. You find that Jesus would oftentimes begin his prayers with Father. Amen. See Matthew 11 verse 25. Matthew 11 verse 25. Let's run through that quickly. He says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father. Underline that. Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Luke 23 verse 34, similarly there, Luke 23 verse 34, then Jesus said, Father, underline that, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Luke 23 verse 46, similarly there, it says, Father, underline Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. See John 11 verse 41, similarly there as well, John 11 verse 41, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, underline that, I thank you that you've heard me. John 12 verse 28. John 12, verse 28. Father, glorify your name. Underline that. Father. Now the Jews understood the meaning of Father. The Son was equal to his Father. Do you follow that? He wasn't talking as a subordinate, but as one with equal standing. See John 5, verse 18. John 5, verse 18. Please turn your Bible there. I want you to see this. John 5, verse 18. It says, therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father. Referring to Jesus, okay? Now look at this. What is the implication of that statement? Making himself equal with God. Underline that. Making himself equal with God. Okay? Now recall the word used by Jesus in John chapter 17 during his high priestly prayer. Erauta, right? E-R-O-T-A-O. Now, he uses it four times in John chapter 14. Okay? It is used in verse 9, John chapter 17, twice. Then verses 15 to 20. Now, this word, as we've seen, speaks of making a request from a place of special position. Remember we said that, right? Erauta is making a request from a place of special position. So, someone who has special standing with another, asking of him. For example, a child asking from a father, okay, or a best friend asking from his best friend. That's erauta. Do you follow that? Or a bride asking of her husband. Erauta. Now, Jesus had that special standing with God. Remember what is erauta? Asking from a place of what? Special standing. Special position. Now, Jesus had that special standing with God, and he knew it. There's a difference between having something and knowing that you have it. Look at how Jesus talks about his relationship with God. See John 10:30. Please see this quickly. John 10:30. It says, I and my Father are one. Underline that, are one. So he knew that relationship. Come on. Erauta, all right? A place of special position he had with the Father. See John 5 verse 20. John 5:20, as we close, it says, for the Father loves the Son. Underline that. The Father loves the Son, so he knew that. Come on. Okay? And shows him all things that he himself does, and will show him greater works than this, that you may marvel. Verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to those he will. For the Father judges no one, but he has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son. Underline that. That all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. John 1 verse 18 says of Jesus that he is in the bosom of the Father, that is, he is loved by him in his heart. So for Jesus, he knew he was loved by God. Okay? He knew he had a special standing. He knew he had a special relationship with God. He knew he was a son. Okay? Jesus knew he was one with God, and that is why he talked with authority. Okay, when you have this kind of relationship with someone, you can talk freely to him, right? It's not commanding him, it is confident asking, erauta. Okay, you make requests like they are already done because you know the person you are asking. You know his character. He will do what you've asked. Do you follow that? So you ask as if it is already done. Let me give you an illustration here. I send you to my best friend, right? And I say, go and get 50K from my best friend. And then you say, Pastor, are you sure he will give me? Right? And then I say, don't worry, it's my party. Right? I trust him. He will give me. That's a erauta. That is what Jesus had. Hallelujah. Do you follow that? Okay? That is what those in the Old Testament never had. That special standing. So he talks with authority. Amen. In the Old Testament, they will say, please, I beg of you. Yeah. Oh Lord, I beseech you. He comes on the scene and says, healed. Hallelujah. I command you, leave. He says, Father, I thank you because you always hear me.
or out of. He's talking in the imperative. He's talking in the perfect tense. As if what he's asking for is already done. Because he knows, he's my father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yoruba always says, Baba Miniye. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is what Jesus had. Praise the Lord. He is my father. So he speaks in the imperative. But let me say this to you practically, okay? A router would mean that you won't pray prayers like this. God, please, okay? Let your power work in my body. Do you follow that? God, please, let your power work in my body, effecting a healing and a cure when you need healing. No? Rather, you would pray this way. God, your power is working in my body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, effecting a healing and a cure. Hallelujah! Do you follow that? Now, note, you are not commending God. It's still a request. Okay, but it's a confident request. God, this will happen. Why? Because I know you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, this is how Jesus prayed in his earthly walk. Okay, and he did so because of his special standing with God. He was a son. So it doesn't end with Jesus. Remember I've told you? Okay, everything he enjoys never ends with him. So we'll see how this applies to us today. In this conference, did you learn? Lift your hands, give him praise, thank him, and pick up from here. Oh, thank you, Lord. Sing in other tongues, give him praise.